Radio that's passionate, genuine, and personal. CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
Coming up on the Children's Hour, we're going to learn about our closest primate relatives, the great apes. Humans are great apes, as are gorillas, chimpanzees, and orangutans. We meet Michelle Desolais from Forest for Orangutans, who explains to the kids' crew how these red-headed cousins survive in their steamy Asian jungles and what we can do to help save them from extinction. Then the kids' crew head to the Albuquerque Biopark Zoo for a field trip to meet the chimpanzees and their keeper, Jonathan Cordova. Sharing most of our DNA, chimpanzees are not that different from us. This episode is mixed with great music. Get ready to go ape with us, coming up on The Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is an independent production of The Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico-based nonprofit. We're distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American radio network.
It's time for The Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
What's an orangutan's favorite fruit?
I don't know.
What?
An apricot.
It's time for The Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
That's Casper Baby Pants from his release called Baby Beatles. You're listening to The Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone, and I'm here with a whole lot of kids on Zoom, and we're going to also be going on a field trip. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
And who do we have with us today?
Hi, it's Daniel.
Hi, it's Lily Mae.
Hi, it's Illuminata.
Hi, it's Joe.
Hi, it's Nina.
Hello, it's Amadeus.
Hi, it's Max.
Hello, it's Killian.
Hello, it's Asa.
Hi, it's Thorfinn.
Hi, it's Raymond.
Well, thank you all so much for being here. I'm really excited about this show because we're going to learn about some of our evolutionary ancestors in a way, but they're actually alive today. It's the great apes. And we are going to learn about chimpanzees, a little about gorillas, and also orangutans. We've got Michelle Desolay with us from Forest for Orangutans. We've also got a field trip that we're taking to the zoo to go meet the chimpanzee keeper at the Albuquerque Biopark Zoo. This is a loaded show full of information about apes and lots of songs, too. We're going to jump right in. This is Neil Sedaka from a release called Waking Up Is Hard to Do. Stick with us. This is the Children's Hour. We're going to the apes.
The moon is bright above. Oh, what a night. Chimpanzee, like I was reeling, rocking, howling from a coconut tree. Honey, can't you see you bring out the monkey business in me? Howling like a big baboon. Honey, I'll explode if you don't come and kiss me soon.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, and today on the show, we are going to learn about one of the great apes among us, orangutans. And with us today, from an organization called Forests for Orangutans, is Michelle Desolay. Welcome to the Children's Hour, Michelle.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
What is an orangutan?
An orangutan is a primate. It is a great ape. It is an animal that lives in the rainforest of Borneo and Sumatra. They are very similar to us. For those who are quite advanced in their scientific studies, you might have learned about DNA. That's the building blocks that make each of us unique. Well, the DNA of an orangutan is 97% the same as our DNA. And they're considered the smartest, most intelligent species on the planet, except for us, of course.
What is the orangutan's diet?
Orangutans eat hundreds of types of food, and these include fruits, leaves, flowers, and even tree bark. Occasionally, they'll eat things like insects. They love termites and birds' eggs. And just a few times, the scientists have seen them eating meat in the form of these small persimmons called slow loris. But they mostly are vegetarian and eat mostly fruits and leaves. Some orangutans, like I said, actually scrape off the bark from a tree and eat the soft pith inside. That's usually when there's not enough fruit in the forest for them to eat.
So in Malaysia and Sumatra, where they live, there are a lot more fruits in those forests. So we're talking big tropical fruits like...
Yeah, the jackfruit The orangutans love a jackfruit. They are giant. They can weigh like 40 pounds, this giant jackfruit, and they're delicious. They're a little bit hard to get into, just like the durian, but with those big, strong jaws that the orangutan has no problem breaking into durians, or when they're coconuts don't grow in the wild where the orangutan lives, but if they're in a sanctuary, they love a coconut and they could just break the coconut open with their teeth.
Wow, those are some strong teeth to be able to do that. They have these really, really strong jaws, and they're omnivores, but you really don't find them eating too much meat. Do they like insects?
They love termites. They'll suck the termites out of a dead log on the forest floor for their protein. Absolutely love them.
Do orangutans have any predators or prey?
Well, the most dangerous animal to orangutans is humans, I'm afraid. Yes, the activities of humans, either directly or indirectly, really impact the orangutan. Some humans hunt orangutans, which is horrid. And then there are other humans that try to clear the land where the orangutan lives. The orangutan needs a forest to live in. And if you take away their forest, they have a real hard time struggling to survive. But in Sumatra, orangutans stay a lot of the time in the trees, both in Sumatra and Borneo, but more in Sumatra, because in Sumatra, their habitat is often shared with the Sumatran tiger. And that can be dangerous to a smallish orangutan, probably not so much a big orangutan. There's also other animals like the sun bear and the wild boar. They can both be dangerous as well. But they don't actually go out like pursuing orangutans. It's just if they kind of found themselves cornered in a corner with one of them, it could get ugly.
That's Michelle Del Soleil from Forests for Orangutans. We've got more on these and other apes today on the Children's Hour. But first, this is Fred from Everybody Get Happy.
Orangutan hoot and sang, love to bang on his drums. Eat and play, sleep all day, swing, swang, swung. Orangutan, silly orangutan. Orangutan, hooray. Orangutan, hoot and sang, love to bang on his drums. Eat and play, sleep all day, swing, swang, swung. Orangutan, silly orangutan. Orangutan, hooray.
Hello.
Children's Hour, and I'm Katie Stone. Today on the show, we're learning about apes. And now we're visiting with Michelle Del Soleil from Forests for Orangutans to learn more about these redheads. Let's go to Lily May.
How many different species are there of orangutans?
There are three distinct species of orangutan. The orangutans that live in Borneo are one species called the Bornean orangutan. And the orangutans that live on Sumatra, there are two types there. There's the Sumatran orangutan, that seems pretty self-evident. But a few years ago, scientists who are studying the orangutans in Sumatra, they've known of this population of orangutans that all along they thought they were just like Sumatran orangutans, but now they've decided that they're so different from the Sumatran orangutans that they are a different species altogether, and they are called the Tapanuli orangutan. That's the name of the area that they live in, and there's only 800 of them left, so they are the most critically endangered great ape species on the planet.
Is there a simple way to tell them all apart?
There are some clues. The Sumatran orangutans tend to have lighter, more orangey-colored hair. Their hair can, their beards and mustaches, both the females and the males can have these beards and mustaches. I must say I'm getting a bit of one myself. The Sumatran has a longer kind of face and a longer kind of body. The Bornean orangutan has a much rounder face, and his hair color, or her hair color, can range from a deep red to almost like a purpley black kind of color, kind of a deep maroon color. And their hair can grow really, really long. In fact, they have the longest hair of any species on the planet, except for us. You know, some people are able to grow their hair very, very long. Not so many as can grow it as long as Hercules, a very famous orangutan living in Borneo.
Now, we say orangutan. Is it really orangutans?
There's something in between. There's no G at the end. So depending on your accent, but most correct, I would say, would be orangutan, like you have a tan on your skin, orangutan.
Why do male orangutans have such flat faces?
The scientists debate over this, but the general idea is the orangutan makes what's called a long call. It's a very deep kind of burping, series of burping, loud, bellowing calls. They make this sound called the long call, which can be heard so far, far away. And the reason they make it, two reasons. One is to tell any females that might be in town that he's in town. And don't I sound fine and magnificent? And don't you want to know me? And if the female is interested in having a date with the male that's moving through her region, she'll move towards that sound. So that flat face, they're called cheek pads or flanges, is said to kind of direct the sound and amplify the sound like a stereo speaker, and the females can hone in on it. And it's also a sound that warns off any competing males. And of course, if his long call is very, very loud and strong, then the smaller male's like, oh gosh, I better skedaddle real quick because there's a big old guy coming through here and he's not going to stand for me in his way.
What is an orangutan's part in a food web?
Oh, what an excellent question. You know, orangutans can be considered the gardeners of the forest. And by that, I mean, as they move through the forest, and remember I said they eat hundreds of different kinds of foods. A lot of them are fruits, and fruits have seeds. And they're moving through the canopies as they eat. The canopy is the top layer of the rainforest, moving along, and they're dropping down the bits of skin, peels, and seeds from the fruits that they're eating. Or sometimes they're eating the seeds and they come up the other end. And when those drop down onto the forest floor, then obviously new fruit trees can grow from it. And there are even some seeds that the only way that they'll mature into a plant, or germinate is the word, is once it's passed through the gut of an orangutan. It has to come out in their poo. And then it can grow on the forest floor. Now, of course, that canopy is like a giant umbrella and it's blocking out a lot of light. So these new seeds are trying to create, you know, a plant on the forest floor really needs some sunlight. So that orangutan moving through the canopy is breaking off branches as he moves along. And these create little pockets of in the forest canopy where the light can shoot down, and that shafted light can hit the forest floor right at the precise point where a seed has dropped, and that seed then grows and emerges into a new giant rainforest tree.
That's the voice of Michelle Desolée from Forest for Orangutans. We have a little more on these guys and other apes coming up when the kids' crew and I go to the Albuquerque Zoo to meet some chimpanzees. You can find photos, links, playlists, and so much more at childrenshour.org. This episode is called Apes.
You're listening to The Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
The Children's Hour is produced by The Children's Hour Incorporated. We're a New Mexico-based nonprofit organization teaching kids how to make public radio. You can learn more about us and support our work at childrenshour.org. The New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs supports the Children's Hour. Experience the magic of New Mexico's many cultural traditions at museums and historic sites statewide. More at nmculture.org/traditions. Electric Playhouse supports the Children's Hour, now open in Las Vegas, Nevada, inside the Forum Shops at Caesar's Palace. Learn more at electricplayhouse.com.
I like all of the podcasts because they help me learn a lot. I'm Brooklyn Elder from Albuquerque.
Find hundreds of educational podcasts at childrenshour.org or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Look for The Children's Hour.
Doodle.
Orangutan is Debbie Derryberry right here on the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone, and today on the show, we're learning about apes. And we've got with us Michelle Desolay from Forest for Orangutans, and the kids have a lot more questions for her.
How many more apes are left in the population, and are they endangered?
Well, the scientists think there's just over about 100,000 Bornean orangutans. Now, that sounds like a lot, but think a large sports stadium seats more than that. So that's all the orangutans in the world in one stadium. That's not really a lot, after all. Which, like I said, just over 100,000, that we think. They're very hard to count. You can't really spot them in the forest. You have to count their nests. And, of course, you have to figure out if that nest is old or new. The Sumatran orangutan, about 14,500. And the newly identified, just a few years ago, they identified a different species of orangutan. They knew they were there, but they thought they were Sumatra orangutans, but they turned out to be so different that they've made a species of their own called the Tapanuli orangutan. And they are the most endangered great ape on the planet, with about 800 of them left. And they're in a lot of trouble right now. All of the orangutans are in trouble. They're all listed by the International Union for the Conservation of Nature as critically endangered. That is the closest step you get to before they are extinct. They're probably not going to go extinct anytime soon, because we're doing a really good job keeping them alive in protected areas, but the numbers are still going down pretty steadily. And so there's a lot of work that we have to do to keep them alive.
Is there anything we can do to help the orangutans?
There is something that we can do almost every day of our life. Remember, I spoke about the fact that some people are clearing the forest where the orangutan lives, and they're clearing it to plant something called palm oil. Well, the plant is called oil palm. The product that we get out of it is palm oil. And palm oil finds its way into over half of the packaged products in your supermarkets. And these products can be everything from chocolate and cookies and pizzas and bread, ice cream. It can also be the things that you use to wash your clothes with, or your dishes or your face. It could be in your toothpaste. It could be in lipstick. Some companies are even putting it in fuel to run cars and airplanes. So it's really impossible to avoid palm oil. And we don't actually ask people to avoid palm oil. We ask them to demand that the palm oil is produced what's called sustainably. And under the rules for sustainable palm oil, one of the rules is you can't cut down any forest to grow it. And another rule is you can't capture or harm or kill any orangutans to make this palm oil. So we think that the most important thing everyone can do to save the orangutan is to demand sustainable palm oil. You can look for a logo on some products called the RSPO logo. That stands for the Roundtable for Sustainable Palm Oil. And unfortunately, not a lot of products put this on their packages, even if they are using sustainable palm oil. Sometimes they say there's just not enough room on the package. So there's an app put out by the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo there in Colorado that you can get on your phone, and it will show you what products are using sustainable palm oil, what products you can choose to eat or use safely. And if it doesn't have sustainable palm oil, then we encourage you to send an email or write a letter to the company and say, hey, why aren't you using sustainable palm oil? The orangutans need you to use sustainable palm oil.
Well, Michelle Desolay, it has been such a pleasure being with you. You're a conservationist with the Orangutan Land Trust. You can learn a lot more about their organization by going online to forests4orangutans.org. And I am actually putting links to that on our website. Michelle, thank you so much for answering so many of our orangutan questions and being with us on the show today. I have one more question for you, which is, if you had a goal for what you wanted your organization to achieve, maybe 20 years from now, where would orangutans be?
That's a good question. It's hard for me to see around the corner to tomorrow. In 20 years, I would like to see the clearing of orangutan habitat come to an end. And that would in turn see orangutan numbers increasing and the numbers of orangutans finding themselves in horrible situations almost gone. That would be my dream.
Is climate change impacting these islands? Is there a chance that in 20 years, these islands will be flooded?
Some of the coastal areas may become flooded, but the islands are huge, so they're not going to be completely inundated. What we are seeing already is shifting climatic patterns, exacerbating the incidence of fires. So you combine the clearing of forest, the draining of the wet peatland that a lot of those forests stand on, and then long, long dry season, add some wind, add a careless person with a cigarette, and you've got a giant fire that burns for months and so forth. So climate change is having that direct impact on the habitat of the orangutan.
You can learn a lot more about the work that Michelle Desolais and Forest for Orangutans is doing by going to childrenshour.org. We've got links posted. Look for this episode, Apes. Michelle, thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour today.
Thank you.
En una rama y pasó la orangutana comiéndose una banana.
El orangután y la orangutana, el orangután y la orangutana.
De pronto el orangután le dijo a la orangutana. De pronto el orangután le dijo a la orangutana. Termina ya tu banana. Te invito a pasear el llano.
El orangután.
Fueron a vacilar al bar de la Mona Juana. Se fueron a vacilar al bar de la Mona Juana. Y entre cocos y jaranas volvieron por la mañana.
El orangután y la orangutana, el orangután y la orangutana.
De pronto el orangután le dijo a la orangutana. De pronto el orangután le dijo a la orangutana. Termina ya tu banana. Te invito a pasear en llana.
That was El Payaso Plim Plim right here on the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone, and today we're learning about apes on the show. You can find links and pictures and other information at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Apes. But we decided we need to learn more about apes, and we wanted to see some in real life. So we're going to head over to the zoo. And whenever we go to the zoo, we always think of this one. This is Raffy, right here on the Children's Hour.
Mommy's taking us to the zoo tomorrow. Zoo tomorrow, zoo tomorrow. Mommy's taking us to the zoo tomorrow. We can stay all day. Going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. How about you, you, you? You can come too, too, too. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. Look at all the monkeys swinging in the trees, swinging in the trees, swinging in the trees. Look at all the monkeys swinging in the trees. We can stay all day. Going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. How about you, you, you? You can come too, too, too. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. Look at all the crocodiles swimming in the water, swimming in the water, swimming in the water. Look at all the crocodiles swimming in the water. We can stay all day. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. How about you, you, you? You can come too, too, too. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. Yes, mommy's taking us to the zoo tomorrow. Zoo tomorrow, zoo tomorrow. Mommy's taking us to the zoo tomorrow. We can stay all day. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. How about you, you, you? You can come too, too, too. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. Going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. How about you, you, you? You can come too, too, too. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo.
Recently, the kids' crew took a trip to the Albuquerque Biopark Zoo. That's here in New Mexico where we record our shows. We wanted to see some members of the ape family up close, and we met Jonathan Cordova. He's an animal keeper at the zoo.
So what exactly are apes, and how do they differ from other primates?
Humans are apes. They're part of our closest relatives. We're probably about 98-99% close to our DNA to a chimpanzee. In DNA terms, we're almost identical, but that 1%, 1-2% actually makes a big difference. I mean, you can see we're taller, we stand upright, we don't have as much fur, we can talk. I guess the biggest difference between us and apes is our communication. So they communicate mostly in gestures and grunting, whereas humans can communicate with words. That's a really big difference. We have technology and clothing and things like that, so they still live in their naturalistic life out in Africa. But yeah, we're pretty close. We're about as close as you can get.
Are great apes all over our planet, or are they concentrated in certain regions?
So they are pretty widespread because of orangutans. So the orangutans come from Asia as well. But for the most part, there actually are just little pockets of great apes. So mostly just Africa and Asia. And then, of course, humans are everywhere. So ape species has spread all around the world. It's just humans.
Perhaps you've been to a zoo and seen all kinds of primates, including monkeys. But apes and monkeys are not the same animal.
Monkeys, you typically think of primates with tails. Apes are usually bigger. There are a group of apes called lesser apes, which are Siamangs and different things. So they do come in smaller sizes, mostly big guys. The easy way to distinguish an ape from a monkey, monkeys have tails, apes don't have tails. Apes come with different characteristics. I mean, all primates really are really family-oriented. Apes are very particular with their families and their troops. Chimpanzees in the wild live in huge groups of families.
At the Albuquerque Biopark Zoo, all the chimpanzees live together, play together, sleep together, and eat together.
We feed our chimpanzees twice a day, and they also get grapes in the middle of the day. So I come out and hand feed them a big bag of grapes. I don't have an exact weight, but it's a big trash bag full in the morning and a big trash bag full at night. And they get a bunch of vegetables. They're mostly vegetarians. So they get celery, cucumbers, carrots. Their favorite is fruit. I hand feed them fruit, and we also give them fruit for training. So they love apples, bananas, oranges, kiwis, and they get a big handful of that a day too.
I've seen in that when they're eating, they look around and choose different foods. Why do they do it like that and not just eat the ones that are in front of them?
That's a good question. So they have individual personalities. That's what makes working with them really cool. So they, just like humans, each one of them has their favorites, the ones that they like and the ones that they dislike. So usually they'll go for the stuff that they like. And each individual has different ones too. So they don't all like the same thing, but they'll definitely go for certain things first. And we like to give them a lot of extra greens. So I would say like the low reinforcers are the lettuce and the celery and kind of some of the things that are a little bit more bland. They'll eventually eat some of that, but they definitely want to go for the carrots and the sweet potato and some of the gooder stuff first.
Jonathan hand feeds the chimps, but because they're pretty big and very strong, he uses a system of barriers to keep himself safe. There are human-sized doors and chimp-sized doors in the enclosure, so staff and animals are never in the same space together. The doors allow the chimps to move throughout their space safely.
They've got the routine down really well. So they kind of know when breakfast and dinner is. So for breakfast, they know that I got to come out to the yard. So in the mornings when I get here, I ask them all to come inside, and they usually are pretty good about coming inside. Occasionally, they don't want to listen, which is totally fine. That's on their terms. If they don't have to come in, but usually they're pretty ready for breakfast to come in.
But even with barriers, staff can still get a close look at the chimpanzees. Zookeepers trained the chimpanzees to show their feet, hands, nose, and even tongues to check their health.
How do you train the chimpanzees?
So at the zoo, we use what we call positive reinforcement. And that's a training technique where we use a positive reinforcer. So we ask them to do something. And if they do it, they get a treat or they get interaction with us or they get something that they like. We're able to do lots of different trainings with that method. And it's all voluntary. So that's what makes positive reinforcement really cool is they can choose to do it or not choose to do it. And a lot of times they really want to participate. And it helps us with their veterinary care and also our own companionship with them to working with them really closely.
That's Jonathan Cordova. He's a zookeeper with the Albuquerque Biopark Zoo here in New Mexico. We've got more with their family of chimpanzees in a moment. You're listening to the Children's Hour.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Users at tokenibis.org donate to the Children's Hour every week without ever spending a dime. Learn more at tokenibis.org. Support for the Children's Hour is provided by United Way of North Central New Mexico. The Children's Hour is supported by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and the National Endowment for the Arts. The Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico supports the Children's Hour.
It's easier to know where you're going than to see where you've been. It helps to have someone who's so good at showing you that they know you can. Just like your mom did for your dream, Jane, dream. You waited patiently, though it took a while. Dream, Jane, dream. I see your face and I can drink in your smile. Language needed when you held at your hand and looked right into their eyes. To see these creatures reaching back with their fingers, life is such a surprise. Lifting the veil between us. Species hardly different at all. I see them cuddling their babes in their arms, just like I do with my own. I watch them do this and my heart feels so warm. I feel so much less alone. We're in this all together. Dream, Jane, dream. I hear you telling me to follow my heart. Dream, Jane, dream. Though my own vision next to yours seems so sparse. Like you, I'm crouching here with outstretching arm, hoping that I can connect to something greater than myself in this moment. Will I have an effect? But either way, I love to dream.
Dream, Jane, Dream is Lori Enriquez from How Great Can This Day Be? That song is a tribute to Jean Goodall, who is the world's foremost researcher of chimpanzees. Today, we're learning about apes. That means taking a trip to the zoo here in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, boy, oh there they are!
Oh, chimpanzee! Chimpanzee! Chimpanzee!
That's the sound of some very hungry chimpanzees. That's a kind of ape. Zookeeper Jonathan Cordova feeds and cares for this crew every day.
That's how they talk to each other and yell. Someone made somebody mad, and then everybody got involved in the argument and chased them around. They have a really complicated social hierarchy, so the more dominant ones are going to try to tell the subordinate ones to calm down, stop getting in a fight. Pretty normal stuff. And like I said, so that's why these guys don't make good pets. So what they just did to each other could seriously injure a human. But to them, that was nothing. That was just them yelling at each other.
So because they communicate through vocal systems, I have to wonder, how complex is their language with each other?
I would say their language is pretty complex. I don't think science has fully understood their capabilities. I know a lot of people have tried to teach them sign language with some minor success, but their intercommunication with each other is really amazing to see. They're able to communicate with each other very well through just very subtle body positions and gestures. They can talk to each other, and it's really amazing to see.
I believe you previously mentioned that they have an incredibly complex social hierarchy. How are the positions in that determined?
It's usually determined by what we would call submissive chimps and more dominant chimps. So they figure that out themselves, and it comes down to personal, individual personalities. The alpha chimp is usually the male who's the biggest and the strongest, and he's the one who's going to take care of the whole family and protect them. And then he'll choose his female to have babies with, and that's usually a very dominant female. Some of them are really shy, so those guys end up towards the bottom of the social hierarchy. So they're the ones who might not get the best pick of the food and stuff. Chimps are really interesting. They actually are really fluid with their social hierarchy. So one day, one of them might be all the way at the bottom and not get the best food. And then the next day, the male, the head male, the alpha male, he might like that female and she gets to climb up in rankings. It's very fluid and dynamic, but they determine that all on their own.
Was there an ancient time where there was great apes here in North America?
There were, and there are stories from Native American tribes about bigger gray apes. I believe they didn't come too much farther than North America. They certainly were in Asia, and when there was the Bering Land Strait, like bridge, they definitely came, and that could be where some of the folklore around Sasquatch comes from in North America. Yeah, but definitely fossilized remains of Gigantopithecus is the name of the fossil that they found. So it was a big gray ape. It was probably a really large orangutan. And so there's thoughts that they had spread to North America, but eventually had died out.
Wow, a giant orangutan.
Yes, big orangutan. That would have been really cool to see. Orangutans are one of my favorites.
Chimpanzees are often used for medical research because probably they're so closely related to humans. What happens to those chimpanzees after they've been in medical research?
That's a great question. Actually, a lot of members from our own troop are ex-lab chimps, particularly our alpha male and alpha female, Alf and Elaine. They were a breeder pair for a medical research lab. And unfortunately, we really don't like to see chimpanzee testing. It's gone back and forth on whether it's completely outright illegal in the United States or not. I think the powers that be find that it's necessary sometimes to advance human medical care. We definitely don't like to see it. It can be a sad situation for the chimpanzees. Like our group, they had a lot of problems, and thankfully they were able to come and get great care here.
Are chimpanzees endangered?
Their habitats are really fragmented and their populations have declined a lot, particularly in the last couple hundred years. It's really gone down. That's why zoos are so important. We keep a really good genetic population of them, keep the genes flowing, and that's really important for the wild. We also work with a bunch of conservation groups out in the wild. A couple coworkers of mine have people that go out into the field and work with some of the people who live in Africa. It's really important to try to protect their habitat and make them valuable to humans, because without them being valuable to us, we're going to lose them, unfortunately.
Chimpanzees chimpanzees generally live into their 40s and 50s, with male species tending to die about 10 years earlier than females. Here at the Albuquerque Biopark Zoo, the staff will care for these chimps into old age, taking care to keep them safe, comfortable, and healthy every day. You just heard Jonathan Cordova. He's a zookeeper here, and he specializes in caring for chimpanzees.
I got the invitation that you sent to everyone, and I told you family picnics weren't exactly my idea of fun. You replied that everyone but me said they were going to come, which is how you talked me into going to the reunion. When you said everyone, you really meant it. My brother, the Abe. My brother, the Abe. I received the photos you sent, and I don't regret that I went. Or the sight of everybody still posing under one tent. But I don't feel I belong, and I keep wanting to escape. And I fail to see the likeness between me and my brother the ape. They all kept saying how much we look alike. I don't think that we look alike at all, but I'll admit that I look more like a chimp than I look like my cousin the shrimp, or my distant kin the lichens, or the snowy egret, or the moss. And I find it hard to recognize some relatives of ours, like the roachifer, the sycamore, iguanas, and sea stars. My brother the ape. Sister the cow, that I meant to thank her for the Gorgonzola, and I'll allow that I've been acting like a stranger, but you guys are all so strange. Though I think of what I'm like, and I can see we're all the same. So this time next year, we'll meet at my place, my brother the ape.
That was They Might Be Giants, off of a release called Here Comes Science with My Brother the Ape. I'm Katie Stone, and you are listening to the Children's Hour. And today we're learning about apes. Humans are in this family. We're considered great apes, along with chimpanzees, orangutan, and gorillas. There's also a lesser ape classification, and that includes gibbons. But remember, not all primates are apes. Unlike monkeys, apes have no tails. And we are also distinguished by some other characteristics that primates don't have, like the way our molar teeth are arranged in our mouths. Our shoulders and arms and the way that we can rotate them is different from monkeys. Our rib cage shape is also different. And all apes have an organ called the appendix. Great apes are large, and we learned earlier about the different subspecies of orangutans. Well, there are two species of gorillas, Western gorilla and the Eastern gorilla. Gorillas are the biggest of all the primates. There are also two main species of chimpanzees. The ones that we met are called the common chimpanzee. Another species is the bonobo. There used to be many, many species of humans, including Neanderthals. But today, there's just one, Homo sapiens. You can learn more about apes at childrenshour.org, where we've posted pictures and links and lots of other information about our guests. Look for this episode, Apes. You're listening to the Children's Hour. This is Sandra Boynton.
Ba-ba, ba-na-na-na-na, ba-ba, ba-na-na-na-na, ba-ba, ba-na-na-na-na, ba-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Banana, 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 banana. Now your average gorilla may be wild about vanilla, but I have to say banana is my favorite food. The diddly bop banana na na
na na na. You've been learning about apes today on the Children's Hour. Find more information at childrenshour.org. We're going to go out with one more. This is Artichoke. We'll catch you next time for another edition of the Children's Hour.
I'm an old gorilla called a silverback. I got to streak of silver like a railroad track, and I'm in charge of you. Don't give me a hard time, kid. It's my responsibility to lead this troop. I appreciate cooperation, that means you, 'cause I'm in charge of you. Don't give me a hard time. You might decide to challenge me by looking for a fight and showing your teeth, but it'd be wise to bide your time, 'cause I'm twice your size. Comes in handy when the woods are dark. Yeah, I'm in charge of you. Don't give me a hard time, kid.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
Today's show was written and produced by me, Katie Stone, with help from our senior producer, Christina Stella. We also had help from our intern, Daniel. The kids recorded themselves at the Albuquerque Biopark Zoo. Many thanks to the staff over there for welcoming our crew.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
We post our photos and more on Instagram and Facebook. Find us at TCH Radio.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Our frequency,